Off the ball. Rugby.
Then all we'll never know until we play. We know on the evidence of play well for your province, play well in Europe, play well in the URC, consistently back it up for a couple, four, five, six matches. And then people go, give him a go.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the ball.
There really is no grimmer way to start a show when you hear a Premier League owner start by saying, you know what, those mass layoffs, they're finally starting to financially pay off at the club at the moment. Jim Ratcliffe there. We're going to be talking about a layoff at Spurs as well, because they have finally made the decision to part ways with Thomas Frank. It had been a horrific run for them, particularly the last 16 Premier League games. Just the two wins, very few wins at home in any competitions for Spurs this year. They made that decision 10 days out from playing Arsenal in a North London derby on the back of that 2-1 defeat against Newcastle. It leaves Tottenham sitting 5 points above West Ham in the battle to beat the drop, and Spurs felt a change was required. We'll talk about Wednesday night rugby, what's going to change for the Irish rugby team on the back of last week, that humiliation in Paris on Thursday night. Will they take on an Italy team who've got their backs up after beating Scotland? They come to Dublin, where they've never won in the Six Nations. Mike Sherry is going to be with us, and Anna Capeless, to look forward to that game. And later this hour, Laura Tracy's going to talk to us. 6 All-Ireland titles, the first and one when she just turned 18. She has decided to retire at the age of 30 after a glittering career with Cork, and she'll look forward to the start of the Camogie Leagues as well. Stephen Doyle is here with us. Stephen, how are you?
Good afternoon, Will. Good evening, Will. Yes, I'm very well, thank you. It's been a long day.
Yeah. Stay after 7 o'clock.
You recorded the LOI pod
earlier on. LOI pod has dropped into the kids' feeds, has it?
It sure has, yeah. Absolutely. Great chat with Vinny and Gareth this afternoon, looking ahead to all the big games. And our big one on Friday night, Shelburne against Shamrock Rovers. Yep. Can't wait for it.
Should be a cracker. So it's going to be Richie Towle, Jonathan Higgins who are doing the game. Yep. We'll bring a bit of Shells in the football show later on as well. That should be a good one. I mean, obviously, we didn't get to see Rovers last weekend, though.
Yep, and that's the feeling, is that could Rovers be a little bit undercooked going into this? Shelburne obviously having an advantage, having played a game, and will be a little bit sharper maybe after that 90 minutes down at the RSC. However, Stephen Bradley, as anybody who was listening would know, was in the press box at the RSC for that game, so he would have seen how Shelburne played firsthand. Maybe that gives him a little bit of an advantage as well. So look, either way, not much between those sides. They had 4 meetings last season in the league with 2 draws and a win for each side, so I think it could be a really good game.
What was your, you were on commentary last week for the Shells game. We had to divert everything in the afternoon, understandably, at the waterlogged pitch at Tallaght Stadium. So no more so than Stephen Bradley, you were diverting down to the south coast as well. What did you make of Shells' performance against Waterford?
Like the first 45 minutes was like, and especially considering it was the opening day of the season, it was one of the best 45 minutes I've seen from a team over the last couple of years. They were utterly dominant, totally suffocated Waterford. The new signings settling really well. Oran Casey looks fantastic on the right of the back three. Really, really good performance by him. Jack Henry Francis, like I keep banging on about this fella all week. Vinny said on the pod, had a good little discussion about him, and he felt that, and he means this in the most complimentary way, that he's got a couple of levels more. So, like, we could be looking at a kind of a, you know, player similar to Jack Byrne in really lighting up the league with the way he plays in midfield. Really impressed by Shells. But second half, great reaction from John Daly, the Waterford manager, makes a triple substitution, totally changed the game, swung it around Waterford's way, and they really did earn the point by the end of the match. So, I think Shells definitely, though, look like title contenders. They definitely can pull it up to Rovers, I think, this season.
Yep, you can listen to League of Ireland pod free. It's available in the OTB football feed, wherever you pick up your podcasts. Of course, the Goal Out app, it's available there. You can get your 3 free listens for the month if you sign up there too. But you can listen to Vinny, Gareth and Steve, all looking forward to this weekend and reviewing weekend one of the League of Ireland as well. Very rude not to introduce the newsman himself. Cameron Hill, how are you?
No, it's fine, don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry, you just kind of sit there. It's okay. I have your script in front of me. If worst comes to worst, I'll read through.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm completely surplus to requirements.
Sit back and chill. You've got 3 people here with news reading experience. I think we'll be fine. If all goes down, we'll be able to get through it. There is nowhere else to start, Cameron, but what has happened at Tottenham today?
Well, they're looking for a 6th permanent manager in 7 years after sacking Thomas Frank today. Will, the club say recent results and performances left them with no choice. Last night's 2-1 defeat to Newcastle means they're without a Premier League win in 2026. 8 games without a win in the league and just 5 points above the bottom 3. Former captain Robbie Keane and ex-boss Mauricio Pochettino among those being linked with the job.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, well, this felt like it was inevitable and it's kind of been coming for a while. Myself and Keith Tracy were here last night watching the game, and we got a chance to pop out a little bit during it as well. There were, you're getting sacked in the morning chants. There was a massive chant of Mauricio Pochettino in the second half. And then even when Spurs had that opportunity maybe to equalise late in the game, there was just a stream of Spurs fans who were walking out with 6 or 7 minutes to go. It was grim. It felt like the Spurs fans had just given up on Frank and this regime.
Yeah, I like, supporters will always react to what they see on the field. And I watched the full 90 minutes of that game, flicking over at halftime for a bit of Manchester United West Ham. But it was insipid, is the word I'd use for that Spurs performance last night. And that's not just down to the manager, it's down to the players as well. And I don't know if the players had just kind of, were they at the stage of, we've had enough of this guy, down tools, because they were an absolute rabble. They were a disgrace to the jersey. If I was a Spurs supporter, I would have been furious at the players, not just the manager. But, you know, it all falls on his head. Attacking, like, there was just no sense of any kind of cutting edge or creativity or whatever. Now, like, you do have to feel for Frank with all of the injuries that they picked up at the start of the season, especially losing Kulusevski and Maddison. Like, they were two massive, massive losses for him. And even Eddie Howe said in his post-match press conference, and he was quite, I thought he was quite, it was quite nice words from him on Thomas Frank, and he spoke about the injuries that he's had to deal with this season. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as they say. He had to deal with it, and he hasn't dealt with it. And he does just seem to be maybe lacking the management ability to manage a massive club that want to dominate possession of the football, and especially on their own home ground.
Yeah.
And he was managing a team like Brentford, who, as we've even seen with Keith Andrews, they play deep, they'll hit teams in the counter-attack, and they'll beat teams with their pace up front. And he just hasn't been able to make that switch from a smaller club like Brentford to a big, massive club with huge expectation like Spurs. And ultimately, he's paid the price with his job this afternoon. And it's sad for Frank, because I think he is a decent bloke.
He always comes across really well.
Yeah. And I've felt sorry for him over the last couple of weeks, because he looks stressed. He looks completely just not obviously not enjoying himself. And maybe he'll have a bit of time to refresh and, you know, think about things over the next couple of months. And I'm sure we'll see him back managing another
club.
Where
I would have sympathy is, Maddison is so key to the way Spurs play. He gets injured, gets the ACL. That's a killer, gone for the year. Kulusevski then gets injured, another really important player for them. They pick up a dozen injuries basically over the last few months. They're left bereft of leadership. Then Christian Romero gets himself banned for a few games in the Manchester United game. I'd look like a bunch of kids who were out there last night. There was one point where the goalkeeper rolls the ball out to Xavi Simons, and he was the only player inside the Newcastle half. He gets bundled off the ball, and it just felt like Spurs were just going to sit there and just absorb pressure for the
first.
I think, to be fair to the fans, and I know sometimes we get wrapped up in the style of football and all that type of stuff, if you're paying £93 to go in and watch it in the state-of-the-art stadium, the expectation has to be, as Patrick has just said here in the WhatsApp, when Arsenal built the Emirates, Wenger did an amazing job to keep them in the Champions League with no money to then invest in the squad when they got the stadium. Spurs did that. Now they're a laughing stock fighting relegation for the last two seasons in a row, coming in 087, 9180, 180. I think it's okay for Spurs fans to have an expectation, Steve-O, that they were going to kick to another level. And sitting back in the way they did and looking as bereft of ideas as they did, and the players not putting in the effort like they did last night, of course you can be frustrated with that.
Oh, absolutely. But it's been a mess above the management, like at board level. You know, Daniel Levy leaves last year. They bring somebody else in who obviously had the experience of working with Arsenal. And then they had Paratici, who is like their, meant to be their transfer guru, leaves immediately at the end of the transfer, January transfer window. And his departure had already been flagged a couple of weeks earlier. It was there, obviously, the Tottenham journalists that covered the beat for The Athletic. So, like, it's just like, this is meant to be a big club challenging for Champions League, for the Premier League. Now, look, that's only in recent years. Look, I can remember Spurs in the 90s and the 2000s when they were, you know, a team maybe down the bottom half of the table who were trying to get back up it. And they had that, you know, couple of years of success under Mauricio Pochettino. But they generally have been a club that it's you know, goes back to the old cliche of lads, it's Tottenham, you know. But when you've got like this transfer guru like Paratici, who's meant to deliver all of these great players that are going to deliver all the great success at Tottenham, and he goes in the middle of a transfer window. I know he left at the end of it. It's mad stuff. Now, I think the reason he went to Fiorentina was the fact that they basically said to him, here's a big load of money and you've got full control here at the club, which he didn't have at Tottenham. So I think that was the pull there. But yeah, it does seem like a real mess. And now you're going to have a new manager coming in who's now picking up a squad that has the signings made by the 3, 4, 5 previous managers before him. And he's going to have to cobble something together of that. And that's not ideal either. They're going to have to ship out a load of other players, bring in a load more. And it just seems to be endless.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big time ahead for the Lewis family and those who are at the board now at this stage, Cameron, because we had heard earlier today Brentford's accounts come out. What timing with the 6.7 million, almost 7 million that was spent to get Thomas Frank and his coaching team. As you said, top of your story, 6 management teams in 7 years. They have differed in style so much to go from Nuno Espirito Santo to Ange Postecoglou to having Conte to having Mourinho, having had Pochettino before that. Ah, it just feels like this runs a lot deeper than the manager.
Well, like, you have to question the logic of hiring a manager who's never dealt with a European campaign to come in at Tottenham to deal with a Champions League. Like, that's still a reality for whoever comes in.
You could argue he's done pretty well in Europe.
Absolutely, but I mean, the pressure had to give at some point. And I heard from various places today that the West Ham defeat was really, that was it. Mm. It was the sword of Damocles was very much hanging over Thomas Frank after that. And that was, what, a month ago? And there's been about 6 games since then. So it just shows you, I mean, the fact that they're out of the FA Cup is probably a blessing in disguise, because they have, what, 10 or so days to get an interim and to have a proper run-up to a North London derby. But it just shows the kind of scattergun approach that Tottenham have taken, that after such a humiliating defeat to a team that were doing terribly before that, and we don't have to go into Dr. Tottenham and all that stuff, and still have 6 games before you actually pull the trigger. It's a mess.
It was the first week of December was their last home win against Crystal Palace.
That's insane.
Which is crazy stuff. And I should say, we'll be, myself and Brian Carroll will be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for the game against Arsenal on Sunday week to do commentary and off the ball.
22nd of February, that should be a fun one, depending on who's in charge. I don't know who is going to be in charge. At Brendan on YouTube, Spurs have always been thus. Been watching football since the early 80s and Spurs have always been okay. A great player or two along the way, Gaza, Hoddle, Waddle, Kane, etc. But flaky and no steel. This team lacks leaders just so much at the moment.
Yep. Can't
think of anyone who's kind of a natural leader within the team currently. Romero seems to do all his leadership on Instagram at the moment as opposed to on the pitch. Who do you think they put in place, Steve-O? Because this is a difficult one. If you want Pochettino, you got to wait till the summer. But who's going to want the job to fight relegation till the end of the season and then walk away?
Well, they've got Johnny Huitinga there, who was on the coaching staff at Liverpool last season when they won the league title. Whether he wants to take up that role till the end of the season, maybe permanently, who knows? So that is, I'd say that's probably the most likely option for the North London Derby. Like, it would take a manager with great self-confidence to come in and want to take over the team for that North London. That said, you know, they're out of the cup, so they've got a long time between now and Sunday week to get that team ready for the game against Arsenal. So maybe somebody would. I know Robbie Keane is being mentioned today. He's been linked to the job by people in the media and also by some of his former teammates. Michael Dawson had a lot to say about that on Sky Sports earlier today. Now, he did give an interview to a Hungarian publication this week, just saying, look, you know, I'm really happy here at Ferencváros. They're top of the table currently in the Hungarian top flight, doing okay in Europe. And Keane is doing very well in his management progression, even though, you know, some of his club choices have been questionable over the last couple of years. But the thing about that, though, is, like, with Keane, does he get this opportunity again?
Maybe not.
You know, like, we know what football is like. Sometimes you just, if an opportunity comes up that could be your dream job, and that is his old club that he once captained, this may never happen again. He may never get a better chance. And the squad that he has there is half decent. So maybe it is the time that he should take it.
Potentially. He was very much, I'm saying, with Ferencváros when the Celtic job was available a couple of times, and the Scottish media went to talk to him earlier this year in the Europa. But to be fair to Celtic, Spurs is a massive, massive, massive job. Mm. So we shall see what happens there. It is a big night of football as well, Cameron. What's Arne Slot had to say ahead of Liverpool Sunderland?
Well, he says they'll have to be close to perfect for the rest of the season to qualify for the Champions League. Will his side start tonight's Premier League match at Sunderland, 5 points behind fifth place Chelsea and six adrift of Manchester United in fourth? With 13 games to go, Slot insists performances must change quickly.
To close the gap of 4 or 5 points towards the number 3, 4, 5, that means you have to win a lot. And that's not what we've done this season a lot. So that's why that has to be better and we have to come close to perfection.
Team news from that game at Stadium of Light this evening for Liverpool. A first Premier League start of the season for Wataru Endo at right back. Dominic Szoboszlai, of course, missing this evening. Andy Robertson also coming into the side, while Nilsson Angulo starts as Chelmsdene Talbi drops to the bench for the Black Cats this evening. Elsewhere then, with that, by the way, kicking off at 8:15, you have 4 games underway from 7:30. Manchester City could move to within 3 points of leaders Arsenal. They take on Fulham at the Etihad Stadium. Pep Guardiola's drafted in Phil Foden and Ruben Diaz, with Omar Marmoush dropping to the bench and Abdoulkadir Kuzunov among the subs after picking up a knock against Liverpool on Sunday. 2 changes for Fulham also, Kenny Tete and Calvin Bassey also coming into the back line in place of Timothy Castagne and Jorge Cuenca. Matt Doherty drops out of the Wolves side for their trip to Nottingham Forest this evening. Also tonight, you've Crystal Palace entertaining Burnley and Aston Villa at home to Brighton. Those 4 games underway from 7:30.
Yeah, Keith Tracy was sent to me, Steve, for Nottingham Forest, and sometimes you kind of forget the way they've got pulled into this relegation battle as well. He was saying this is crucial. You know, Wolves probably aren't staying up, but Forest now, particularly after the Leeds result, they really need points now at this stage to not let West Ham catch up with them.
They've only got, Nottingham Forest have only got 1 win at home in their last 5 matches. There was a sense of romanticism about Sean Dyche coming in at Nottingham Forest, and especially with Dean Moen and Steve Stone and his coaching staff. I think that's what won a lot of Forest fans over the start. Maybe there was a bit of cynicism there from the club owner, Marinakis, bringing that coaching staff in. But, like, I think we all knew it was going to go this way, didn't we? Like, Sean Dyche, great fella. He's done great things in the Premier League over the years, but, like, if you're a team that could possibly be fighting relegation towards the end of the season, it was a really bad choice, I feel, to come in and manage Nottingham Forest. And yeah, I wouldn't be so sure they'll even beat Wolves tonight. Not surprised to see Matt Doherty left out as well. Like, he was brought in for the game against Chelsea at the weekend. They got absolutely battered in that first half. And yeah, it's kind of interesting, is it? Especially when Matt Doherty came out with those comments a number of weeks ago, kind of laying the gauntlet down to his teammates, and to come out with a performance like that at the weekend, and now he's being dropped. So that Wolves dressing room, I imagine, isn't a very happy place to be. And it did look like they maybe turned a bit of a corner, but 3 defeats. That said, it's against City, Chelsea and Bournemouth over the last 3 games. They might fancy themselves the pressure off going to the City ground tonight.
Yeah, possibly. They're going to do more damage to their opponents, probably, than their own chances of staying up a match.
I should say, just, yeah, I think that Liverpool's selection is incredible, because he's left Milos Kerkez on the bench, one of his best players over the last number of weeks. He's been absolutely sensational. Now, I don't know if it's a question of we're keeping him for Brighton in the Cup at the weekend, but that is bonkers, I think, from Slot.
Sunderland away, particularly.
Like, the thing about Sunderland is they've got pace down that right side with Mukiele and Trey Hume, two very good players. And I tell you, for Slot's sake, I hope that one doesn't come back to bite him on the backside.
Yep, Mendo's going to feel out of position, of course, a right back where he's deputising currently as well. Celtic got a bit of chasing to do in the Scottish Premiership.
9 points off top spot in the Scottish Premiership ahead of the visit of Livingston to Parkhead this evening. Will, that kicks off at 7:45. Liam Scales in the starting team for the Hoops tonight. Rangers, who are 6 points adrift, go away to Motherwell from 8, and the clash between Dundee and Aberdeen tonight has been called off due to a waterlogged pitch at Tannadice. Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe, meanwhile, currently in action for Arsenal in the Women's Champions League. The last time of checking, Arsenal were 3-0 up on Leuven, 4-0 I should say, on that game in the first leg of their last 16 tie in Belgium this evening. So going well for the holders.
Yep, absolutely flying. Let's skip down to the rugby then, because Bryn Ward, I think this is a really interesting story. I was reading some of his quotes, we're going to hear from him in a second, but He was mentioning the fact he was playing with Ballinahinch not that long ago in the AIL, and now here he is with all the Ireland back rows getting ready for a big game at the weekend where he may even feature. So what's Bryn Ward been saying?
Well, he's been a breakout star for the province this season, having only made his senior debut in October as a last-minute surprise replacement for Warno Augusta in their URC game away to the Lions in Johannesburg. He's made a further 8 appearances for Richie Murphy's side this season and has been training with the Ireland senior squad in preparation for the Six Nations. He was part of the Ireland 15 that lost 52-14 to England A at Thomond Park last Friday. And Ward says he's becoming more comfortable in the international setup, but admits there have been a couple of pinch me moments.
I've got a lot of confidence off it, do you know what I mean? Like, I've only been in the group now for just over a week and a half probably, and like the way that the guys make you feel like you've been here for months. So in that way they've been really good. Like, everyone treats you as an equal, do you know what I mean? There's no egos within the squad or anything like that there, so it's really cool to be sitting having a cup of coffee with Ken and Doris and stuff like that. Like, it's pretty surreal for me. And yesterday we were sitting, the lads were going to the putting green down at the K Club, and Josh walked past me and was like, do you want to go and hit a few putts? I was just like thinking about it, I guess that's crazy, like, for me to think like a year ago I was playing for Ballinahinch in the AIL and now I'm going to go and hit a few putts in the putting green with Josh Van der Fleer. It's pretty crazy.
How cynical some of our listeners and viewers can be on the WhatsApp 0879 180 180. If it's any consolation to you Spurs fans, the championship tickets are cheaper and you'll have the best stadium in the championship next year. I don't see Spurs going down. I'm more than happy right now declaring it mid-February, too good to go down.
Said that about Leeds, did they, in the late 90s, Cam?
They did, West Ham as well.
Another team named United, I remember.
They're too good to go down, too good. I saw some pictures just before we came on air of a very hopeful seller outside Croke Park. Middle of the summer, I wish you well with your headbands and your scarves and your flags. I saw someone selling UCC flags outside Croke Park tonight. You are a diehard if you're from UL or UCC going to the final.
I'm not just a Jolly Roger.
It is, but some of them had the skull and crossbones on them as well.
Are you sure you wasn't just selling leftover Bose cars from the weekend?
Or yeah, Bose ones are down or something like that. And you have a collection, you go, or the colour's right. No, this was actually UCC garb, which is outside. So fair play to that person. I hope you sell an absolute shed load of them. Sigerson final coming up in 15 minutes.
Yeah, 25-8 throw in at Croke Park this evening for 24 times. Time champions UCD, or UCC I should say, taking on UL, who are chasing a first ever football crown this evening, Will.
There's a bizarre Winter Olympic story at the end of this. So tell us what happened in the cricket, the T20 today, firstly.
Well, Australia handed Ireland their second defeat at the T20 World Cup in Colombo today. Nathan Ellis and Adam Zampa took 4 wickets each, with Ireland finishing with a total of 115 runs for the loss of 9 wickets. They had been set a target of 184, while opening batsman Paul Sterling went off with a knee injury after just 1 delivery in the first over. Speaking to Cricket Ireland earlier today, that does not look good for Paul Sterling. He looks set to head home from the World Cup. Ireland's next group match is against Oman on Saturday.
Okay, that's really unfortunate. I promise there won't be a crazy Winter Olympic story every night. Owen comes back tomorrow.
I hope Cameron
can feed him another one. But we had one last night and we have another one tonight.
Well, just to go through the Irish action today at the Winter Olympics, Ireland's Cormac Comerford finishing 37th in skiing's Super G at the Winter Olympics in Italy today, completed the event to finish over 9 seconds behind the winner, Franjo van Almen of Switzerland. Elsewhere, France's Julia Simon claimed her second gold of the Games in the women's 15-kilometre biathlon. She received a 3-month suspended prison sentence in a French court back in October for stealing 2 credit cards from a teammate and spending €2,000 in an online shopping spree. That teammate, Justine Brazas-Boucher, finished 80th in today's competition. The 10-time world champion also received a 6-month ban from the sport in November, with 5 of those months suspended to allow her to compete at the Games. The past is behind us within the team, she says. We've talked things through. Now we're here to win medals, to do biathlon. Today we showed that again. So please, stop. Whether it's the media or the public, it would be really appreciated by everyone. I'm glad we heeded that warning.
Winter Olympic biathletes, they give you stories. It's as simple as that. Also, Cameron's French pronunciation puts Steve-O and I entirely in shame. Cameron, thanks a million. Steve-O, thank you for joining us.
Cheers,
check out the LOI pod, which literally came out this afternoon as well. Off the ball.